Morning is Tuesday, August 20th. I begin with a quote from the Huffington Post by the author Mark Gangloff, and I quote, Bloomberg figures the bank earnings rose 27% in the second quarter, which was the only thing keeping the S&P 500 from reporting a net drop in profits for the quarter. With the banks, the S&P profits were up 3.3% in the quarter. Without them, S&P profits would have been down 1.2%, close quote. And for me, that aforementioned quote is a nightmare because I have literally answered hundreds of questions regarding its validity. Now, on the surface, the quip is factually correct. However, excluding the financial sector's earnings is pure sophistry. It would be like the great Herb Stein statement. Herb Stein, by the way, was the chief of the Council of Economic Advisers under the Nixon administration. It would be like his statement when, after being harassed at a press conference with numerous questions about how high the inflation rate was, Herb put on a straight face and said, if you take out all the things in the consumer price index that have gone up, the index would actually go down. Now think back. Think back to 2008, when the S&P earned $49.50 for the year. At the time, all the mega cap banks were bankrupt, and therefore they had no earnings at all. How much better do you think the S&P's aggregate earnings would have been excluding the banks? Would that have prevented the S&P from trading down to 666 on March 6th of 2009? The answer is, of course not. Mark Gangloff concludes his comments with this, and because the rise in the stock market has not been accompanied by an increase in earnings, price-to-earnings ratios have risen back to levels that suggest the market is getting closer to stalling out, close quote. Again, the stock market's rise has indeed been accompanied by an increase in earnings since 2008's $49.50 earnings number. Even if you exclude the banks, earnings have still gone up over the past 4 or 5 years. And while it's true PE multiples have expanded, the S&P 500 is still only trading at 15.2 times this year's estimated earnings of $108.41, and it's trading at 13.46 times next year's estimate of $122.28. While I, too, have expected the S&P to stall out in this mid-July to mid-August time frame, I think the ensuing decline is for buying, because even if we don't get a PE multiple expansion, if the S&P continues to trade at its current 15.2 times earnings estimate in 2014, the index can trade to 1,858 based on that year's estimates of $122.28. As for the argument that we are into a lengthy 53-month bull market, statistics suggest that the 21.4% decline, that would be from intraday high to intraday low, that occurred back in 2011, does indeed represent a bear market. Now, if that's true, we are currently into a new bull market that is merely 22 months old. If so, there are many months left to run, even though I continue to think it is currently a time to rearrange portfolios and raise cash, even though my optimal time to raise cash passed in July. Today, however, there are positive energy levels I'm seeing on some of my indicators for the equity market, suggesting some kind of rally attempt may be in the works. I just don't think the game on the long side right here is worth the candle, and I continue to hold cash on a short-term trading basis, awaiting a better re-entry point in September, even though I think we are indeed in a bull market. On the broad tape, European and Asian shares sank to their lowest level in more than a month on expectations that the U.S. Federal Reserve could begin to scale back its monetary easing policy as early as the mid-September FOMC meeting. Wall Street looks set to open maybe a little bit lower, but pretty much flat. Emerging markets continued their downward slide, with currencies of Indonesia and India falling to record lows. The MSCI's global index, which tracks the shares of 45 countries, fell for its fourth consecutive session, and Japan's Nikkei index ended down 2.6%. Silver fell about 4%, and gold was little changed, while Brent crude oil fell to trade around $109 a share as I speak. And that leaves the call for today. Yesterday, the Dow lost ground and has triggered the fourth down Friday, down Monday of the year, and it follows last week's down Friday, down Monday, and we all know what happened then. According to my friend Jeff Hirsch, in the nearly 14 years since 2000, there have been 146 down Friday, down Monday sequences. In all but three, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was lower sometime in the 90 calendar days following that down Friday, down Monday sequence. Declines have averaged 7.8%. Since the Dow bottomed in March of 2009, however, the subsequent decline has been milder, averaging 4.9%, and that is most likely due to the Fed's highly accommodative monetary policy combined with a tendency for post-down Friday, down Monday declines to generally be milder in bull markets. And make no mistake about it, I continue to think this is a bull market, even though we took out minor support at 1650 on the S&P yesterday, bringing into view another minor support level at 1620, which I also expect to fall.
There is no assurance any of the trends mentioned will continue in the future. Investors should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of mutual funds carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about this investment. The prospectus is available from your financial advisor and should be read carefully before investing. Investments are subject to risks that will affect their value, including political, regulatory, market, and economic risks. All ratings of individual equities mentioned are provided by licensed fundamental analysts, and a copy of their latest report concerning these companies is available upon